actually, I do not have Maror Mekomos for tonight's shir. Tonight, I just want to, the first night of camp, the minhag is that we do shir psicha on the topic that we're going to be learning this summer. But this summer we're going to be learning Geirus and the Geirus Sugyas of Maseches Yevamos. But I realize that we're going to be talking a lot about Geirus. We're not going to be talking all that much about Geirim. So I thought that tonight we'll talk a little bit about Geirim, about the actual people once they've already converted. Those who are Geirim, what are the special halachos that Geirim have, both in terms of the way we treat them, as well as in the way that their obligations may be different than a regular Jew's obligations when it comes to a variety of halachos. So those are the two basic elements we're going to talk about tonight. How we treat Geirim and how Geirim have maybe different halachos when it comes to certain mitzvos than we have. And really has nothing to do with the topic we're going to be learning the rest of the summer, because we're going to be learning about the process of Geirus and how one goes about Geirus and what the motivations of Geirus have to be and things of that nature. But it's a related topic, so I figured it's good enough. The Tzitz Eliezer has a line in one of his tshuvas. It's a strange way to start a sugya with the Tzitz Eliezer, but the Tzitz Eliezer has a line in one of his shuvas where he writes that there are so many statements of Chazal that speak about the heightened sense of sensitivity and love that one must have for a ger, that to go into detail on it would require its own separate sefer. I'm sure there is one. I'm sure there's a sefer called Ahvas Ager or something like that, that the Chazal go out of their way to not Chazal, the Torah itself goes out of its way to tell us how much we have to love a ger. So what we're going to highlight tonight is three specific mitzvos where the Torah gives very specific warnings to deal more carefully with a ger than when it comes to other people, and one mitzvah where it seems to go in the opposite direction, where the Torah seems to devalue almost the ger, and we're going to try to explore why that would be the case. So let's go first through the three mitzvos where we have a heightened level of sensitivity when it comes to a ger. The Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos Halacha Dalet writes that when a person loves a ger, when a person loves a convert, he's in fulfillment of two mitzvos hasei. He's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. We have a general mitzvah to love each and every Jew, and he's also in fulfillment of the mitzvah to love a ger, because the Torah says, Tvarim perek yud, v'ahavtem es a ger, ki gerim yisam, that you're supposed to love a ger. So it's a separate mitzvah of avas a ger. We're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves gerim and equated our responsibility to love gerim with our responsibility to love the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. In that respect, the Rambam in a tshuva to Rabbeinu Ovadia HaGer, the Rambam writes that the obligation that a person has toward gerim is greater than the obligation a person has toward his parents. What are the mitzvahs with regard to a parent? You have a mitzvah to love your parents? People naturally love their parents, but is there a mitzvah to love your parents? There's a mitzvah to love your parents. There's a mitzvah of mora aveim. There's a mitzvah of kibud aveim. Rav Shatz often points out that in English, the way we translate those terms is the reverse of the way the halacha translates those terms. That mora really is probably means honor, and kibud probably means awe or something like that. But the Gemara in Kiddushin gives examples of mora and kibud. But you don't have a mitzvah of ahavas av ve'em, and that's the Rambam highlights that point when he writes a letter to Rabbeinu Avadia Hager, who obviously was going through his struggles as a ger. That he says it's possible to honor, fear, and accept the authority of a person who you don't love, and you're in total fulfillment of the mitzvah min haTorah of kibud aveim without a sense of love. And yet the Torah requires us to treat a ger with a sense of ahava. Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah Taf Lamed Aleph, writes, V'kamehi derech ni'imus v'chemda, l'schaseid v'ligmol tova l'asher hiniach umaso, that he says, think about it, how right it would be, how kind it would be, how proper it is to do chesed with someone who left his nation, v'kol mishpachas beis aviv, and he left his entire family, v'imo, v'yavo lachsos tachas kanfei uma acheres, and he came to a new nation, to a new people, but Ahavaso also, simply because he found it that this is something worth loving. And why do Gerim come? Because they love MS and they reject Sheker. And that's very often what it is. I could tell you in all my conversations with Gerus candidates, through all the Gerus that we've done, very, very often the impetus was just finding the truth. The impetus was someone felt something was missing, they felt that something was lacking in their life, and they started researching, and they started looking, and they found a certain truth. And that truth was enough for them to give up, it's amazing, the integrity, to give up everything that they knew of, everything that they grew up with, in order to be able to connect to the truth, to find that meaning in their lives. And when we do, when we express these midos tovos of appreciating that, appreciating the sacrifice that a ger has, well then a Kodesh Baruch Hu will pay us in kind. So the ger earned this love. He left his nation, he left his family, all because he came to look for truth. He it was a love of truth. We actually once had a ger's candidate, where it was a young lady. She came to us when she was like 18 years old, or something like that, maybe even younger. So originally the Beis Din said, look, you're young, you know, like, maybe think this over. And like, she was ready to run away from her whole family and leave everything behind. And ultimately, 5 years later, when we realized that she was really, really serious and she wasn't going back, she became Haredi. She's now married to a Hasidic guy, whatever. But when we asked her, like, how did you come across, she was like a Southern Baptist, like, how did you come across, you know, Yiddishkeit? She said, something was missing, so I Googled strive for truth, because I was striving for truth. Now, strive for truth happens to be the English title of Michtam Eliyahu. So she found a book called Strive for Truth. She ordered it, and she read the entire Michtam Eliyahu at the age of 16. And that's what convinced her. I mean, there are some rocky parts in the Michtam Eliyahu that might convince you otherwise. I mean, she was completely convinced by the Michtam Eliyahu. It was really mavish, unbelievable. So there's this striving for truth, this desire to have this truth. There's a story that's told that I heard Rabbi Shaul Reisman tell, that someone once asked from Chaim Kanievsky, a guy had fallen in love with a Gioress, and he wanted to know, should he marry a Gioress, or should he be worried about the lack of Yichus, because she's not a native Jew? So Chaim Kanievsky said, what do you mean? If you marry a Gioress, then every single day for the rest of your life you'll be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of a Haftim as a Ger. So it's an extra mitzvah that you get every single day for the rest of your life. So of course you should. So that's more of a reason to marry a Gioress. So that's mitzvah number one that we have when it comes to relating to Gerim. That the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah of Ahavas Ager. Again, the Rambam highlights, we don't even have that by our own parents. And the Sefer HaChinuch highlights that we have such a mitzvah because they've earned that mitzvah. They've earned it through their tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. Second mitzvah is highlighted by the Gemara in Bamitzia, Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara tells us that if a person verbally abuses a convert, O Na'as Devarim, he's in violation of three separate Isurim. The Gemara explains that it's hypocritical for a Jew to mock a convert because Mum Shebcha Al Tamar L'Chavrucha. If you have a Mum, you wouldn't make fun of someone else for having that same Mum, right? You don't have one person who's I'm not going to say a mum, but let's say one person who's deformed in a certain way, making fun of another person for that same deformity, right? You don't have one person who tore tore a ligament in his neck. Say, oh, you're such a loser! You tore a ligament in your neck, falling off the hockey mat. Right? You don't have some. That, now you know why I asked for all that information. So you don't have one person who has the same problem, making fun of someone else who has that problem. To the contrary, you can, if you hear about someone who tore a ligament in his neck, you'll be like, look, I've been there, buddy, I know what it's like, I know how scary it was. I mean, you'll relate more to the person. So we're all Gerim, we were all Gerim in Yisim, we were all Gerim in Mitzrayim, so Adraba, we should relate more to a Ger. So the second point of sensitivity that we have to a Ger is that we the Isra of Anas Tavarim. Anas Tavarim is an Isra in general. The Isra of Anas Tavarim is that you're not allowed to make fun of people. You're not allowed to say mean things to people. One of my chaverim once told me, he thought that we spend so much time talking about the Isra of Lashon Hara, which is a very important Isra also, that maybe we don't give enough attention to the Isra of Anas Tavarim. You know, one can observe that among high school boys, in certainly the 18 years that I taught in high school, I would think that Anas Tavarim was a bigger problem than Lashon Hara was. People weren't talking behind people's backs so much. girls do that. Boys were, you know, they're like pretty direct. You know, it's just being mean to each other. It's just saying horrible things to each other. So maybe that's where more Musar should be. Was that just Lashon Hara and all of? All right, whatever. But that's a more fundamental or a more prominent Isser. So we were all Gerim in Mitzrayim. So to make fun of a Ger, to mock a Ger, to make a Ger feel bad. By the way, the Achronim all point out that the Torah telling us to treat a ger with extra sensitivity is something that should be expanded beyond just a ger, beyond an actual convert. It's anyone who feels out of place. Meaning if, let's say, you know, you're in a camp setting and there's 25 guys and they're all friends or whatever, and then, like, there's one guy going to gush, you know, like, or something like that. So, like, you know, you shouldn't make him feel bad. You know, you should be makari to him and be friendly to him and, you know, again, that's why I got all this information. So you should do whatever you can. Meaning that Rav Zilberstein discusses, you know, there's halach in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to be kaveh makom l'tfilaso. That you're supposed to daven in a makom kavua. So what do you do if you walk into shul and someone is sitting in your makom kavua? So Rav Zilberstein said you have an opportunity for mitzvah d'oraisa of v'haftem es ager and not to verbally assault a ger by letting him stay there and by not making him feel bad, because he's obviously not from the shul. He's obviously someone new. He just tried to sit in a seat. So that's an opportunity for this mitzvah of ahavas ager, of treating a ger with respect. So you know, the right way to go about it is not by, like, hovering over him. Could I just take that? Just, you know, like, and making him feel bad the whole time that he's standing there being being a passive aggressive. So the mitzvah is to make him not feel bad at all. Minchas Chinuch, mitzvah Tav Lamed Aleph, questions who the Isser applies to. He writes, "V'gam lo nesvar ad kama nikra ger," meaning, who is a ger as far as this is concerned? Im hu levado shenichnas ledos, o im gam banav acharav. The Minchas Chinuch is not sure. Does that also include children of a ger? Meaning, sometimes children of a ger might also feel like outsiders. They might also feel like, I don't have yichus. You know, they have to go talk about their family stories. Let's say they have an assignment in school, write where your grandparents are from, or something like that. And then they feel bad because they don't have that sort of yichus to talk about. You know, there was this fellow that whose father was a Nazi, right? You know, this guy, he lived in Boca for a while. I don't think he lives there anymore. You know what I'm talking about? His doctor. He wrote a book. In the book, he explains that his father was a Nazi. He discovered as a teenager that his father was a Nazi. His father never wanted to talk about the war or whatever. And when he discovered it, he, like, ran away and ran to the Jewish community and was, like, the Shabbos guy in the shul for a while. And ultimately, he converted. And ultimately, he ended up in Florida. I don't know if it was Boca or maybe it was Miami. I think it was Boca. And he ended up in Florida. And his kid had an assignment in school to write about your grandfather. And his kid said to the father, he said, you know, you never told me about Zaidi. Like, you know, who's my grandfather? He said, well, son, I've got a story for you. You know, your grandfather killed tens of thousands of Jews, and he was a Nazi. So the kid wrote a report about who his grandfather was, and the teacher called the father to come to the school. He said, your son is a mechutzav. He writes a report like this. He makes up a whole story that his grandfather was a Nazi, and a terrible thing to write about his family. And the father said, well actually, you know, that's the truth. And the teacher was like, oh my gosh, you got to write a book. So he did. So I read the book. So that was meaning so sometimes even a generation later, after the person is not the ger anymore, it's the children of the ger. Then Chas Chinuch said maybe the isra of anas tavarim that you have specifically of not to be not to be mean to a ger applies to the children as well. So Chas Chinuch doesn't bring a raya in either direction, but he says l'chora it should really only include verbal abuse of someone who doesn't have relatives within the Jewish community, because that's really what it's about. It's about the person has no one else to turn to other than the community around him, so he doesn't have a family, he doesn't have someone that he can bank on and that he could rely on, because he doesn't have any relatives anymore. But if a person is a child of a ger, he does have relatives. I was actually contacted just last week. A family reached out to me. They said, "We emergency, we need to speak to you." Five siblings, each of them living in different communities, well, a couple of them in the same community, but you know, pretty much in nice Jewish communities, some of them Marbitzei Torah, and really all upstanding, wonderful people. Their Bubby just passed away, and 2 weeks ago, the Bubby was sick for the first time in her life. And when they asked for a name, for what Bubby's name was to daven for, it was Basara Imenu. Whatever her name was, Basara Imenu. They're like, what? Bubby was a Giora? Bubby's a Gioras? Yeah, Bubby's a Gioras. Well, tell us more. We're not telling you anymore. Parents didn't want to talk about it. Now Bubby died, and they discovered that not only was Bubby a Gioras, but Bubby converted when Mommy was 5 years old. So now they discovered that Mommy is a Gioras also, that Mommy converted together with Bubby when she was 5 years old. So they were so disoriented, meaning their whole identity was shaken. Why was their identity shaken? Their mother is a Gioras. She's Jewish, they're Jewish. Why would that shake your identity? Well, maybe there is this element that even being the children of a Ger, there's a heightened level of sensitivity of do I really belong, and feeling like an outsider a little bit. And therefore, this Isser would apply to the maybe, says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe to the whole family. Although the Minchas Chinuch seems to be noted the other way, that it only applies to the Ger himself, not to the whole family. There is you hear this Svara. It happens to be in that case they were concerned that the Gerus wasn't a valid Gerus, because maybe we'll discuss this later in the summer. The case was that in the home where Bubby and where Mommy grew up, you know, by Bubby and Zaidi's home, they weren't Shomer Shabbos. And they weren't Shomer Kashrus, and Mommy only became Frum when she was 26 years old. So their Shaila was whether the Gerus was a valid Gerus. So that could shake you up. Like, is that if Mommy's Gerus is no good, then these Marbitzei Torah, Rebbeim, you know, leaders of community, that they were nervous that they were all non-Jews. So that's a little bit frightening. Turns out they're all Jewish. So it's all's well that ends well. I was like, I said, can you give me the names? Do you have like a tuda, you know, like a certificate of Gerus for your mother or for your Bubby? Do you have, you know, who did the Gerus? So they said, we have it. We don't have it on hand, but we know that it exists. And the name's on it. They said we never heard of the name, but the one rabbi's name is Rabbi Yeruchim Gorelick. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. That was like the top Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU, but his family doesn't admit that he was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that was, that's pretty reliable Beis Din. So anyway, so a third area where a convert has to be treated with an extra degree of sensitivity is in terms of Beis Din. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perchaf Halacha Yud Beis says that it's always aser to make an avil b'mishpat, to issue a corrupt judgment, but there's an additional iser to do so against a convert. Lo sata mishpat ger, the pasuk says. So dafka, the pasuk goes out of its way to tell me that you're not allowed to treat a ger in the context of Beis Din in a biased way either. So three special levels of sensitivity we have to a ger. Extra love we have for a ger, an extra iser of losonu es a ger, of anas tavarim, of treating a ger not nicely, and specifically in the context of Beis Din, to treat a ger with respect. But then there's one area of halacha that does not demand that we treat a ger with greater sensitivity, and l'chora even seems to demand that we treat a ger with a little less sensitivity, which is somewhat surprising. It is a Mishnah in Horios, Daf Yud Gimel. The Mishnah tells us, Horios Daf Yud Gimel is toward the very end of Horios, and it tells us that, but don't try it when you need to see him for the 9 days. It's not going to go quickly if you do Horios. There are better Masechtas to try, but if you get to the end of Horios, it's not an easy Masechta. But the Mishnah tells us that all Jews, other than an Eved Meshuchrar, take precedence over a Ger in receiving tzedakah and in redeeming them from captivity, meaning you only have so much money to redeem people from captivity that are being held captive. So the Ger is like the low man on the totem pole. You're going to free first the Talmud Chacham, certainly Talmud Chacham, and a Kohen, and a Levi, and a Yisrael. Only an Eved Meshuchrar is lower than him on the hierarchy. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perachas Halach Yud Zayin, quotes this halacha. It's not so clear that we could actually practically apply this halacha nowadays, meaning it also says Ish Kodem Leisha for certain things, and Isha Kodem Leish for others. Meaning, for example, when it comes to giving tzedakah, a woman comes before a man. When it comes to saving a life, a man comes before a woman. The Mishnah over there says that a Kohen is Kodem Levi, a Levi is Kodem Yisrael. But Afilu Mamzer Tamil Chacham is Kodem the Kohen Gadol Ama'aretz. You have a Mamzer Tamil Chacham, he wins over a Kohen Gadol Ama'aretz. And it has a whole hierarchy in the case of triage, where you can only save certain lives. So we don't actually put that into practice, right? Imagine Rachmana Litzlan, something like 9/11 or something. Well, 9/11, there weren't so many people running to hospitals because unfortunately everyone died. So many people died. But imagine like you have this massive event, Rachmana Litzlan, a terror attack in Israel or something, where people are being brought into hospitals and they don't have enough staff on hand. So or enough machines to at the beginning of COVID when there weren't enough machines to hook people up to. So what do? You give the guy a bechina first. You stop and you say, well, wait a second. First of all, Kohen Levi or Yisrael, and then like you're the gabbai, and then where are you holding? Like you don't give the guy a bechina first. We don't do that anymore. So it's there's discussions in poskim why we don't do that anymore, but we don't do that anymore. Meaning, even aside from the, usually it's because it would just be a tremendous chilul Hashem, and it would not be good for the Jews if that's the way that that we made those decisions. Sometimes it could come up, though. I once got a shaila. Someone called me, and he told me that he wanted to donate a kidney to somebody. So I said, okay. So he said, what's the shaila? So he said, I said, your shaila, whether it's mutter, it's mutter. It's a big mitzvah. Go ahead. He said, no, it's not my shaila. I know it's a big mitzvah. He said, I want to donate to somebody, but I called up Renewal, the organization that deals with kidney donations, and I told them I want to donate a kidney. And they said, well, Newt, do you have any preferences? And the guy said, I prefer to give a kidney. Like, what do you mean? And they said, no, meaning like, do you want it to go to an older person, a younger person, a man, a woman, a Talmud Chacham, an Amma Aretz, a Kohen Levi, whatever? It's your kidney. You can do whatever you want with it. You can give it to whoever you want. So, do you have a relative that you want to give it to? Do you want it back only? It's totally up to you. If you don't have any preferences, so then we'll give it to the next person on the list. But if you have preferences, then maybe, then let us know. So he called me up because he wanted to know, should he have preferences? Should he Dafka try to find the Kohen Talmud Chacham to give a kidney to rather than and ending up giving it to Yisrael Amaretz or something like that. So that was the shaila, whether he should have preferences. I happened to have been there at Yisrael the following week, so I had an opportunity to ask both Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and Rav Nevensal that shaila, and they answered different things, which was interesting. But that might be a case where at least it's a hava amina to apply such a mishnah, because no one's under any obligation to give a kidney to anybody, right? Meaning you don't have any chiyuv. It's completely something that's altruistic. So maybe that, and certainly it's not a chilul Hashem if a person decides to give a kidney to one person and not another. That happens all the time. People will give to their brother or to their father or whatever, and they wouldn't have given to some stranger or something like that. So that's the case where that might come up. But usually this is not so nogea, but it is a mishnah, and it is mentioned by the Rambam in Halacha. Okay, so that's as far as our attitude toward the ger in three areas where we need to be extra sensitive. The one area where it seems that the ger is lower on the list than many other miyuchasim, because that's taluy in yichus. Again, however, if the ger becomes a talmud chacham, then he jumps to the top of the list, because even a mamzer talmud chacham is called the mekohen gadol amaretz. Now let's talk about a ger's obligation in mitzvos, in several mitzvos. So first, let's talk about kibud avim. One of the bigger challenges that a ger has when he joins Klal Yisrael is balancing the relationship with his biological family with his newfound religion. Because on the one hand, Chazal tell us that Gershon is Gayer, Kikaton Shinola Dami. His father's no longer his father, his mother's no longer his mother, his brother's no longer his brother, his sister's no longer his sister. He's like a newborn child that doesn't have any relatives. But on the other hand, emotionally it doesn't feel that way. It's difficult to completely sever one's relationship with a biological family. If you'd act in an insensitive way toward your old family, that would reflect very, very poorly on Yiddishkeit as a whole. So how does he act toward his parents? So a few points. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim, Perikei Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes, again, Perikei Halacha Yud Aleph in Hilchos Mamrim, Hager Osr L'Kalel Aviv Hagoy, Ula Hakoso, Ula Vazoso, that a ger is not allowed to curse hit or be mevaza his non-Jewish parent, kedeshlo yomru, so that people won't come to say bo'u mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala. That look, he used to have this issur that he wasn't allowed to do these things to his parents. Now he converted to Judaism and all of a sudden he's allowed to treat his parents like this. We don't want people to think that he had a downgrade in his kedusha when he converted. And therefore, says the Rambam, v'noeg bo miktsas kavod. He should be knowing some kavod to his parents. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah, Simon Reish Memel, Siftes, and Hiltzki Beraveim quotes this Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch leaves out that last line. He leaves out that line of Noagin Bo Miktsas Kavod. In fact, no one's really sure where the Rambam got all of this from. The commentaries on the Rambam struggled to find a source for the Rambam. The Gemara doesn't make any mention of an Isser, La Koso, La Vazoso, La Kalulo. The Rambam seemed to have invented this whole thing, which is somewhat strange, because the Rambam every once in a while does come up with his own halacha. But how do you know when it's the Rambam's own thing and it wasn't sourced in something? V'yirayli, he'll always say V'yirayli, that it appears to me. Over here, the Rambam doesn't say V'yirayli, he just says it. And whenever he just says something, it's always sourced in somewhere. It's got to be a Gemara, Yerushalmi, a Medrash, a something. And no one seems to be able to easily find where this Rambam is from. So the Kesef Mishnah writes that the Rambam is based on a Gemara in Yevam Mustaf Chav Beis. The Gemara says that the only reason one of the Rabbanim asked a convert to marry his biological relatives, even though the convert is not halachically related to his biological relatives, is that if you let him marry his biological relatives, people would assume that relationships that used to be aser for him are now mutter to him, and the impression would be given that he's diminished his halachic status. That shlo yomru bo mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala, meaning shev mitzvos b'nei Noach. One of them is arayos. Right? A Nachri is not allowed to marry his sister. A Nachri is not allowed to marry his mother. Now what are you going to do? He's going to convert and say, well, his sister's not his sister. His mother's not his mother. So then maybe you should be allowed to marry them. Yeah, but what's that going to look like, says the Gemara? It's going to look like he used to have an Isser to do this, and now that he became a Jew, it became mutter. Again, it looks like a downgrade of his Kedusha. So that's a Gemara. The Gemara says that about marriage, about who you're allowed to marry. So it could be, says the Kesef Mishnah, that exempting a convert from Kibbut Aveim would give that same impression, and that's the basis of the Rambam. It will give that same impression of you used to be at a certain Madrega where you had certain Chiyuvim, and now you've been downgraded. Rav Moshe in the Tshuva, Nigros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Nigros Moshe, Yerodei Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Lamed, does not like this Kesef Mishnah at all. He does not think that that is the explanation of the Rambam at all, because a non-Jew is usher to have relations with relatives, and it's therefore readily understood that if those same relationships were not usher for him as a Jew, people would get the impression that his halachic status has diminished. But a non-Jew has no obligation to honor his parents. So exempting a convert from Kibbut Aveim wouldn't lead you to believe that you've gone from Kedusha Chamur to Kedusha Kala. Meaning, there is no Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Does it include Kibbut Aveim? No. How do you remember what the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach are? Anyone know a good mnemonic for it? Alves Gimel Dal and Shalosh Chamuros. There you go. Okay. So ask Mansion after. We'll tell you all what that means. Right. So that's the Alves. One of the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach is not Kibbut Aveim. I mean, he says to Moshe, I understand what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about a case where there's actually an Isser, because one of the Shalosh Chamuros is Arayos, is actually an Isser for a guy to marry his sister. So now he's going to become a Jew, and you can tell him that it's mutter. That's going to look terrible. That's the Gemara. That makes sense. But says Rav Moshe, there's no Isser for a guy. There's no mitzvah for a guy to do Kibbut Aveim. So why is it going to look so bad if he doesn't do Kibbut Aveim when he becomes a Jew? He had no mitzvah as a guy. It's not a downgrade. It's a, what do they call it? A lateral move? Is that even? Across? No? No. Am I using the right? You know what I mean, though, right? Meaning it's not going down. It's staying in the same level. So Rav Moshe says he doesn't think that Kesef Mishnah is correct. Rabbi Kiveger has a comment in Yerodeah, Siman Reish Mem Aleph, where he explains the Rambam's concern a little bit differently. Rabbi Kiveger says, not like the Kesef Mishnah. He says, we're not worried that people would think that his halachic status is diminished. But how do most people treat their parents? How do most people treat their parents? Hopefully, nicely. right? So if he's not knowing he mikzas kavod on his parents after he converts, it's not that the halacha, that it's going to look like, oh, he used to have a halachic status where he had these obligations, and now his halacha went down. No, but what is it going to look like? That he used to be nice, and now he's not nice. It's going to be that biderech hanimus in his habits, in his just way of being, nothing to do with this halachic status. On a practical level, the Rambam is saying that since the accepted practice is for non-Jews to honor their parents, even though they're not halachically obligated to do so, it's going to look bad if he converts, and then all of a sudden he stops honoring his parents. Rav Moshe doesn't like this one either. Rav Moshe takes issue with this interpretation of the Rambam. The Rambam's practice throughout his Sefer is always to say Yira Eli when he's saying a new din. So Rav Moshe says, you're telling me, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that the Rambam's not based on Akamar and Yavamus, because Akamar and Yavamus was about halachic change, and the Rambam's inventing a new din. That when practically it looks like he's downgrading, that's also bad. But that's, the Rambam should have said Yira Eli. The Rambam didn't say Yira Eli, so it's difficult to accept Rabbi Akiva Eiger as well. So instead, Rav Moshe Feinstein comes up with a third possible explanation of this Rambam. So Rav Moshe suggests that even though Goyim do not have a formal obligation of Kibbud Av Va'im, they're absolutely required to have a level of basic positive character traits, such as Hakaras HaTov, meaning everyone, every human being that was placed on this earth by the good Lord is expected to have midos tovos. Is it one of the shevnas bnei noach? No. But it's understood that everybody is supposed to have midos tovos. What are midos tovos? Learn orchot tzaddikim, you'll find out, right? But hakaras hatov is one of those midos tovos. Even Adam HaRishon didn't have this. He didn't have the status of a Jew. He was taken to task for not expressing Hakaras HaTov, right? He complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about his greatest gift. What was his greatest gift? Chava, right? He complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about that. So he was faulted for not having Hakaras HaTov. The notion that there's an aspect of Kibbud Av Va'im that's based on Hakaras HaTov, that's clear. That's clear. Certainly there's some element of Kibbud Av Va'im that relates to Hakaras HaTov, that our parents brought us into this world, our parents raised us. Just give me one second. The Mishnah Maseches Bav Metziah, or the Gemara Maseches, the Mishnah tells us that a person should return an Avedas Rabbo before returning Avedas Aviv, that if you have two lost items, one that your father lost, one that your Rebbe lost, the Rebbe comes first, because your father brought you into this world, but your Rebbe brings you into the next world. What's implicit in that Mishnah is that the extent to which you honor your Rebbe or your father is based on how much have they done for you, what have they done for you, and therefore you have to be makir tov. Your Rebbe brought you into is bringing you into the next world by giving you olam haba, by inspiring you spiritually, so a lot of hakaras tov. Parents are brought you into this physical world, a lot of hakaras tov for that. Hakaras tov is the mechayev. So says Rav Moshe, the language of the Rambam when he writes that the convert has to have miktsas kavod for a parent. How are you magdir miktsas kavod? Meaning the Rambam, right? The Rambam was a brisker, right? Wasn't he? Right? He wasn't Sephardic, no, right? He was a brisker, right? It's a historical, no. So the Rambam was used very precise lashon. The Rambam was a brisker. So what does that mean? Miktsas kavod, right? That's the old joke they say that Reb Chaim goes up after 120 and they introduce him to the Rambam, and the Rambam says, no, I didn't mean any of that. And Rav Chaim says, you think I'm going to trust some Sephardi guy about what Pshat and the Rambam is? You know, the Rambam was spoken very, very clear, Hagdaros. What does Miktsas Kavod mean? What does that mean? What kind of Hagdara is that? So says Rav Moshe, it's a very precise Hagdara. The parameter of Miktsas Kavod is the amount of honor that would not involve Kfiyas Tova, that would not involve a lack of Hakaras HaTov. And that a guy is also obligated in. So that's a legitimate obligation, but there's no explicit mitzvah in the Torah to that end, which leads the Rambam to the vague terminology of Shelo Yomru Shoba Mikdusha Chamura LeKdusha Kala. That's the terminology the Rambam uses, but what he's really describing is that when he was a Nachri, he had to have Miktsas Kavod. And that's a real Chiyuv, not just like Minanimus, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, that it's just good manners. No, no, it's a real Chiyuv, because he has to be about Midos. And now that he converts, he's not going to have that. Then it's going to look like he came from Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. Yeah, question.
What would be Rav Moshe's source then for
that Goyim are. So he discusses that, right? How does he know? So he thinks that that's part of Emunah Hashem, that's part of meaning that's like a fundamental to everything, to be a decent person, to be a decent human being, part of Deen, and it's part of everything, that all of it is about being a good person. So that's as far as Kibud Avayim. Any other questions on that? So again, just to review, as far as Kibud Avayim, we said that the Rambam has this unusual halacha. It's unusual because we don't know where it comes from, that a Nachri has to, that after a Ger converts, he still has to be Noeg Miktsas Kavod with his parents, because otherwise people will say that he's downgraded from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. The question is, where on earth the Rambam got that from? So we had three possibilities. One possibility was the Kesef Mishnah's possibility, that it's based on the Gemara in Yevamistav Chavbeis about marrying relatives, that he's not allowed to marry his biological relatives for that same reason, that people will think it's a downgrade. Rav Moshe didn't like that, because in that case there was actually an iser to marry relatives when he was a guy, but when he was a guy there was no din of Kibud Avayim. Second possibility was Rabbi Kiva Eger's possibility. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, it's not about that he's downgrading halachically, it's that he's downgrading in his manners and in his practice, because everybody has honor for their parents, and now he's not going to do that anymore. That's what the Rambam's referring to. So Rav Moshe says, well, then he should have said Yirah Ali, because he invented a new din out of nowhere. And then we have the third possibility, is Rav Moshe's possibility, where Rav Moshe says, no, he did downgrade halachically if he's not going to honor his parents now, because when he was a guy, he was obligated to honor his parents, just not the same way a Jew is obligated to honor his parents. A Jew is obligated to honor his parents to a degree that's way more than Hakaras HaTov requires. A non-Jew only has to honor his parents to the degree that Hakaras HaTov requires. We're going to come back to that probably in tomorrow's shiur, that issue of Kibud Avayim and the non-Jew's obligation versus a Jew's obligation. Next, what about visiting a sick parent? Rav Moshe was asked whether a Nachri is allowed to visit his sick, whether a Ger, rather, is allowed to visit his sick biological parent. The case was a parent had requested to see her grandchild and grandchild before she died, and the mother and daughter had not been in contact with the parent for 20 years, but they were willing to go. They just wanted to know, is it like an Isra of Lo Sichanim or something, that you're going to go and, you know what the Isra of Lo Sichanim is? What does Lo Sichanim mean? Right, so the Gemara Nevel Dazar says all three things, right? That Lo Sichani means that you're not supposed to give a Nachri place to live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to give compliments to a Nachri, and you're not supposed to give a Matnas Chinam, give a free gift. So anytime you're doing something for a Nachri, there's always this question of Lo Sichanim. So the person asking the question thought that it should be mutter because of a Gezeira Shemiyachzir Lesura, that they should be allowed to visit the sick parent, because otherwise, if people were held back from doing that, then they would be very turned off by the Jewish way of life, and then there's always the concern that they'll give up on their Judaism. Rav Moshe said that's not a reason. He says you could distinguish between someone who has, you know, Yachzir Lesura is the reason that the Gemara gives for why he Yarshins his parents. That, you know, let's say, you know, your father is a Nachri, let's say someone converts and his father is a Nachri, but that Nachri's name is Bill Gates, right? So he's got like billions of dollars. So like, it's a lot to give up, you know? So Shemi Yachzir Lesuro, we say, okay, he can Yarshin his parents, he can still get a Yerusha. So Moshe says, yeah, in Dina Mamanus we have such a thing. But if it's an emotional difficulty with Judaism, there are lots of emotional difficulties with Judaism, that wouldn't be enough reason to say that he'd be allowed to do an Isser. But says Rav Moshe, I don't even understand the question to begin with, because what kind of Isser? There's no Isser over here. Adrabi, you're doing a mitzvah. Rav Moshe says the notion that this woman is allowed to visit her biological mother is obvious. He says, first of all, the very fact that people would view a chumra in this area that you're not allowed to visit as evidence that the Torah is unethical and that, you know, would be a terrible chilul Hashem, or at least mipnei darkei shalom, in order to keep a certain sense of darkei shalom. Furthermore, the Rambam paskins that a ger has to have miktsas kavod. What is miktsas kavod if not the basic hakaras hatov that the biological parent is dying and you're going to go visit them? At least something. That's at least a miktsas kavod. And furthermore, Rav Moshe writes, that if you refuse the request to go visit, that might be like the equivalent of being mekalel, mevazeh, right? The Rambam had all that, those expressions of what a ger is not allowed to do to their parent. They're not allowed to be mekalel their parent. They're not allowed to be mevazeh their parent. They're not allowed to be makah their parent. So can you imagine a bigger patch, emotionally than refusing to come visit as the parent is dying? Can't be. So it's obvious that they're allowed to visit a sick parent. What about mourning for a deceased parent? They love their parents. They still have a good relationship with their parents. It's one of the questions I always make sure to ask the Gerus candidates. What do your parents think of this? What does your family think of this? Because very often the family does have an opinion. It makes a big difference whether the person has family support or not sometimes. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, Parak Beis Halacha Gimel, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yerodei Shin Ayin Dalet Tifei, that a convert should not observe the Shinat Sit Shiva for biological parents, even if the parents also converted. That is not a unanimous view in the Rishonim. That is a significant machlokas rishonim. Rav Sternbach in the Tshuva and Tshuvas van Hagos Chelek Aleph Sim Tafresh Pei Dalid was asked about a boy whose grandmother had gone through a reform conversion. So they knew that it was unacceptable halachically. So the boy went through his own conversion, and his mother went through her own conversion. But the grandmother never upgraded her conversion. So when the mother passed away, the boy wanted to observe Shiva. So Shumach said that there's no obligation for him to observe Shiva, but he's allowed to do so for the Kavod HaBrios of the family. Meaning, the case was that no one knew that they had gone through another conversion. As far as everyone knew, the grandmother was Jewish. So they didn't publicize. Sometimes this happens where someone discovers that they're not Jewish, and they've always been Jewish. They've always acted as Jews their entire lives. So they'll do a quick conversion because they're already observant. They already want to be Jews. So we'll do a quick conversion. We don't go advertising to the whole world that they converted. So it'd be a big bizayin to the family if they don't observe Shiva. So Rav Shmuel says you can volunteer Shiva, but he said you have to be careful because aninus comes with certain kulas, right? When a person is an onen, you don't daven, you don't plant tefillin, you don't say brachos. You know, he said you can't have the kulas of aninus. So I think that's what commonly happens, right? If a whole family converts, parents and children, and then many years later the parents die. So typically the children do sit Shiva for the parents, but they can't have the kulas of aninus. Where else do you have such a thing like that? You have that often when it's an adopted child sitting Shiva for parents. Very often an adopted child will volunteer Shiva, which they're allowed to do for the person who raised them, but they're probably not allowed to take any of the kulas. What about saying Kaddish? You say Kaddish for a non-Jewish parent? So Rav Avadia has a tshuva about this in Yechavadas Chelek Vav. He was asked this shaila whether a ger can pray first daven when they're sick and then whether they could say Kaddish. So in terms of davening when they're sick, I don't want to get too much into that. But the question is whether you're allowed to daven for an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So what Rav Avadia deals with is, you know, what religion do they practice? Do they practice any religion? Or do they have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Even if they do have the status of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, maybe you should daven that they should get better so that they can have time to do tshuva and believe in the one and only God, meaning rather than not daven at all. In the event that the parent dies, Rav Avadia says the child could still say Kaddish for them. The fact that the parent may have been a Rasha, may have been an Ovid Avodah Zarah, shouldn't stop you from saying Kaddish. To the contrary, what's Kaddish for? Right? How long do we say Kaddish for? It's Ashkenazi minute? 11 months. Why not 12 months? Mishpat Rasham Begehenim is Yud Beis Chodesh. So because Kibbut Aveim, we don't want to show that our parents, we don't want to assume that our parents are Rishayim. So we only say Kaddish for 11 months, we don't assume that they're in Gehenim. But the whole point of the Kaddish is to elevate them out of Gehenim. So Adrabah, if they're Rishayim, that's more reason to want to say Kaddish. Rav Avadia says, Rav Shapta told us once that he didn't get so nervous about missing Kaddish when his parents passed away. A lot of times people get very nervous about missing Kaddish. They won't fly to Eretz Yisrael. If they do, they'll make sure there's a minion on the plane, this and that. He's like, I didn't get nervous. My parents were tzaddikim. I know, I wasn't so worried about it. So I don't know if people are supposed to have that attitude in general, but that's a very much Rav Shapta type of attitude. Okay, what we didn't get to is a few things, but okay, we'll stop there. There's still more mitzvahs related things that we could have gotten to, but Bezer Hashem, Ur Chazal Lamoed, and tomorrow we'll start talking about Geirus and not just Geirim. Okay.